much, and welcome back to our newest episode of Room Temp. This is episode 17, and we are back in our respective places after a long weekend. And a long weekend it was, with a bit of a vacation for all of us around that Thanksgiving holiday. It was a great last several days of sports, including some important games this weekend in both the NFL and college football. We'll get to all that eventually in the show tonight. Thanks for joining us here. We're glad to have you with us. How was your Thanksgiving, guys?
Was not bad at all.
I had a pretty good Thanksgiving.
I saw pretty much every single person that I went to high school with through the whole 4 years of my high school career on Wednesday night, so that was cool. A lot of actual shout-outs, though, like, on the show. Like, shout-out to Bellman, shout-out to Mike Williams. Both of them, I was out. And they were like, bro, like, I heard the podcast, it's dope. Like, I want to come on. Belly was like, I'll be your NBA guy. And Mike Williams is a big hockey guy. He's like, yeah, dude, I got you with the hockey stuff. Like, let me know. So shout out to you guys if you're listening. That was dope. That was definitely dope.
That's awesome. We're going to be definitely trying to get more guests on the show in the coming weeks. We recently interviewed on our Room Techers last show on Monday. Got that to you guys. Ellie Holm was really nice to come on the show with us. It was pretty awesome. It was a cool little interview meeting with him on Skype. We're going to try and do some sort of collaboration with him later on. And we're going to be, we have a couple of ideas for some guests in the coming weeks here. It would be pretty awesome to get some of these people we're looking at, on the show. But, I guess tonight it's just going to be the three of us. You're stuck with us.
Back to the whole Wednesday night thing. Ben, you might have saw a lot of people. I don't remember seeing anyone, so.
Dude, I wish, like, the public could see our text, like, convo Thursday morning. Because that, I was in tears. Like, I was literally
I was on fire. I was definitely on fire.
Oh, my God. And I was also in tears hearing about this fucking Michael Crabtree news. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, his thing was
last
taped.
Night? He taped his freaking chain.
He taped his chain to his chest, bro.
Tlaib still got it.
Twitter had me rolling on this, dude. Like, the one guy was like, yeah, he was like Tlaib yanked Crabtree's chain, it sounded like someone was getting their chest waxed, and I was just like, I literally just lost it. Like, people were posting pictures about, like, now I'm losing it. Oh, like, putting, like, a wire, like, on their chest. Like, it was so funny. I was rolling.
Dude, I know. It was so funny, and, like, the fact that they got a two-game suspension, they're both appealing it.
It went down to one,
okay.
I still think Tlaib's a pussy because he didn't take his helmet off.
Nah, he didn't, like...
No, he's a pussy.
If I'm in a fight, like, he yanked off Crabtree's helmet. Crabtree, if you want to fight me, like, you better yank off mine. Like, in hockey, you don't see nobody yanking off.
Nah, Tlaib would be a little bitch.
You
wouldn't let him.
You don't see
him
taking off their helmets.
What do you mean? Absolutely, they took off their stuff. They dropped their gloves, and sometimes they take off their helmets in hockey. That is...
A lot of times, though, they wait for it to get knocked off. He literally yanked Crabtree's helmet.
You also
got to
understand the fact that their helmets are... Like, you can still get hit in the face with their helmets, whereas, like, you really going to punch a metal face mask? No.
It happened a lot.
Crabtree was going for it, and I respect the hell out of that. The man was willing to break his hand to hit somebody in the helmet.
He was willing to lose a gold chain.
Where does Crabtree go from here, though? Like, they're going to play two more times next year. They're still in the same division. Like, does he wear the chain? But if he doesn't wear the chain,
Tlaib's
going to snatch it again.
I think he has
If he doesn't wear the chain, then it looks like a bitch.
Yeah,
he's afraid. He's got
to
wear the
chain. I think he has to staple it.
I think he just has to, like, surgically, like, implant it with
his
skin.
He'll get, like, a tattoo of a chain.
That's smart. The tattoo of a chain would work.
Not at all, because that's
Listen,
still
Michael,
logical.
Michael Crabtree,
he has to wear a physical chain.
This one's for free. Just get a tattoo of a chain around your neck.
Same chain. Could be
same
the
chain.
Same thing.
Same chain. If it's a family heirloom, just keep that.
Hell, you could even get it in the same color.
Yeah.
It won't be as shiny.
Was it the same chain, though? Was it the same chain?
That is a good question, Ben. That is something.
These are the hard-hitting questions that I went to journalism school for.
Literally, yeah. This is why I came up as a
Michael
journalist.
Michael Crabtree, we're
that press
putting out the feelers now
Crabtree,
to anyone
bro.
Who's listening. Get Michael Crabtree on our show.
he would hang up on us so quick. We need to get Tlaib.
No,
on the
I don't
show,
think
so
he
we
would because we're sticking up for him. Like I said, Tlaib was a bitch.
No, you know what we need? We need Tom Savage.
I'm sticking up for Tlaib.
We need Tom Savage on our show.
You're a bitch.
After that post game interview that Tom Savage gave, did either of you see that?
Oh, it'll be an electric interview. It'll be like, hey, Tom, how you doing? Are we good? All right, cool. Thanks, guys.
I thought that was so funny. And, like, no emotion on his face either. It was just like, are we good? Okay, yeah.
Well, it was so speaking funny of this, before that drive started, me and my roommate were watching the game, and he was just like, guarantee you four throws into this game, he's going to throw a pick. And it was around the third or fourth throw of that, and I was like, after it happened, I was like, I need to see the sky cam angle of what he was looking at, because I guarantee you it was the worst possible decision he could have made. And sure enough, triple coverage to a tight end, that's not going to work 10 out of 10 times.
No, I mean, he's not a good quarterback.
Did Peterman have an interview after?
He had to have.
Right?
I didn't hear anything
about
it.
You don't just have that kind of performance and not get it.
I mean, yeah, if I was the Buffalo Bills organization, I would tell him to shut the fuck up.
I would do everything in my power to make sure he's away from a podium.
Keep all microphones away from him. Like, honestly, put caution tape around his locker.
All right, we're putting out all...
If I'm Tyrod, I'm kind of, like, slick trying to get him to a podium. Be like, let him fuck this up some
more.
I bet that's what they did.
I bet they tried to get Tyrod out there as fast as possible because they knew Tyrod would be, like, not be a dick about it.
Okay, we're putting out all the feelers. Get Nathan Peterman on our show.
Get somebody on our show in the NFL.
Help, please. McFadden.
Maybe he's got. Maybe his DMs are open. Maybe we can DM Peterman. Be like, hey, do you want to like redeem yourself? Come on, a nice, you know, nice pod. We won't talk any shit on you. Maybe a little bit, but not too much.
No, I won't talk any. No, I already talked a lot of shit. I can't say that.
Yeah, you can't go back that. On that. Like, that's the thing. That's the
everybody
thing.
Like, talked a lot of shit. Dude, he threw five picks in one half.
But, like,
sorry.
Fuck your girlfriend or something.
If you do want to come on, I'm sorry. Like,
That's the one thing though. Like, if we like. Actually get like a guest on, we have to make sure that we have not slandered them.
We'll do this.
All of our slander
Peterman,
has been
if you want to come on okay. If you want to come on, we promise we won't mention anything about five interceptions or interceptions at all.
We won't use the word interception
or pick.
We might use other words, but
I don't know how you can talk about or to Nathan Peterman and not say anything about
he's a pick guy. There's a lot of things I could talk to him about.
Like, how much shit he
What was
eats.
His favorite part?
Hey, he's a systems quarterback.
Yeah, the system failed him. Come on. Yeah.
Hey, also, to be fair, this man did beat the national championship team last year, so...
So?
You know, just throwing that out there.
We saw McFadden hung up the boots. He retired.
Two days after being...
It was probably a good career move for him. I mean, you get waived by the Cowboys, they're trash anyway.
Yeah,
like,
it's about time.
Just the Cowboys don't know what they're doing. At all.
No, certainly not.
Not at all. I mean, they're screwed at this point.
All but, actually.
I think people will now understand Jason Garrett doesn't know how to coach. He just gets gifted with great players. And then
I don't know if it's so much that. It's more so that Dak is exactly who he was at Mississippi State. Like, very average.
Yeah, Zeke's like, the best player on that team. I mean,
he's the only player on that
obviously.
Team.
Obviously. He's the only... Dez is not doing shit to help out.
No, he's not at all, actually.
Dak, like...
You know who's shit? The Giants.
Who? Mm-hmm.
Eli Manning.
My man, Gino, getting one last
after
go about
what,
it.
210 games consecutive for Eli?
210.
Yeah, 210
he's
games.
Gone.
He was chasing that Brett
I feel
Favre
bad,
record.
Dude. He was tearing up at his thing today. I feel really not, bad. He's really gone. Feel. There's no way he's with them next year.
Yeah, dude, I feel bad for him, too, because like, that was just like gut-wrenching for him. Because what he said was true. He's like I can't, like, I'm, like, he gave me the option that I could start the game, but, like, why would I start the game knowing I'm going to come out? Like, that's... He's like, that's not fair to Gino. Like that's not fair to anybody. Like, I'm going to have to be a good teammate here, but, like, this is fucking
stupid.
There's
two teams. Like, he's not going to be on the Giants next year. There are two teams that he will be on, or could be on.
He's going
to
retire.
No. He's going to
like,
the Jags, or he is going to
Coughlin.
Or he is going to Denver.
He can't go to Denver.
Oh, yes, he can.
Niners.
He could go to Denver. He could go to Denver, and
he can't live in Peyton's shadow.
It wouldn't be living in Peyton's shadow, bro. He gets another. He gets another Super Bowl with them. Are you kidding me? He gets three.
Exactly
he has one
shadow.
More. That, he gets one more.
It would be literally
Peyton's
shadow.
He would have
shadow.
One more Super Bowl than his big brother.
Like,
no, it's
but
not
like,
Peyton's shadow.
Yes, it is. You leave your like fucking.
You leave your long. You leave your long time. You leave your long time team. You won a Super Bowl with to go try to go do one in Denver. That's
what
exactly
he
what
dude. If he still thinks he has gas in the tank and he's not going to play for the Giants, like where else would he go? What other team? Not what other Denver. Team could contend?
That dude, I don't think it's necessarily an Eli. Eli has not.
I think the Jags would be a good fit if they move on from Bortles, but I don't know if they'll do that.
We'll get to that.
But
Bortles is
we'll get to that too. But like
really nice.
He
guy.
Certainly won't go to Denver.
Doesn't.
Listen, maybe I feel so bad for the New York fans because if you're a New York fan, you're looking at this and go, okay, yeah, sure, Eli has not had a good season, but in the back of your mind, it's, has anyone seen Geno Smith play football in the last couple of years? I mean, like I totally forgot that he was even in the league up until like a couple weeks ago.
If they're gonna put Geno, like why not just like bypass Geno and just put?
Well, that's what I was about to say.
Like at least there's upside.
What I was about to say is that look.
What about Hack?
As a New York,
about Hack here.
As a New York fan, you're looking at
Christian Hackenberg.
Go ahead.
That's the Jets, dude.
Oh my God.
His interruption
was
where my point.
I'm conflicting with the Geno thing. It's still fucking me up a little bit. That's my bad. You're so right. You're right.
They used to be teammates.
They did.
At least when I interrupted Matt, like I had a reasonable point. You interrupted him for absolutely no reason.
Okay, fuck off.
What I was gonna say is, as a New York fan, you're looking at this and going, okay, look, you're about to put in Geno, and if you're a New York fan and you think that Geno's a better option than Eli, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're fucking more. Like, this is the epitome of Ben McAdoo making another dumb fucking move. Like,
yes.
Like, okay, like, maybe, you, like, okay, maybe, like, if you're gonna bench Eli, at least have, like, some sort of, like, positive outcome out of it. Like, putting Geno in.
What are you getting
like,
out of that?
That's not gonna. What are you getting out of that? Like, at least you drafted Davis Webb to be the future of the team after Eli moved on. That, obviously. Why else would you draft him? So, if you're gonna try to move on from Eli, which you're clearly doing. Start the guy who you want to have move on. Like, it's literally like managing a team 101. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, it's literally unbelievable.
Well, yeah, but Geno's not young at this point anymore. It's not like, he's not old, but like, he's not, I mean, his potential as a player is long overdue, I guess. Gone. Yeah, I guess, I'll say overdue.
Yeah, like, it's not going to
help.
Yeah,
it's not, yeah. I mean, he could surprise us and pull in Case Keenum. But, like, I don't think so.
Not on that
Not
team.
Likely. I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
I don't get it. But then again, I don't get anything that the Giants
I was
going to
say,
I guess
also from it, from looking at it, they're what? They're 2-9. It's like, why the fuck not? Let's try Geno. I guess that might be the logic. We're 2-9. Like,
but if that's the logic, then why the fuck not start the rookie?
I'm going to tell you right now, that's better logic than what...
Why not start Hackenberg?
Better logic than what the Bills did the other week.
Oh, my God. You're in a freaking wild card spot, and you go, let's pull our quarterback who's thrown 3 interceptions, 62% completion rate on the season.
He might have won that game.
What?
He might have won
in
that game.
He played very well in the second half.
Two touchdowns.
Tyrod's not a bad quarterback.
Other than the strip sack return touchdown, that was not good.
Sure. I mean, he's a Bills player. You're not perfect.
But no one circled the wagon like the Buffalo Bills.
Not at all. But they did get the win this weekend.
They did. That was incredible. Like, I was just
dude, the Chiefs are
What is
imploding.
Wrong with the Chiefs, bro?
Dude, let's just go on to the Chiefs.
Is it Patty Mahomes' turn? Is it Patty Mahomes' turn?
Is it Patty
it might
Mahomes'
be, dude.
Turn?
Alex Smith has been playing like ass.
No.
It might be.
It's not his fault.
Then when is it?
Bro,
if you start 5-0, 6-0, now you're 6-5.
This team was built on an electric run game, which they had, and the big play. That's what they were. Then, you know, you get five or six game films on Kareem Hunt, you realize, oh, if we do this and we might stop him, it starts to work. Then they have no run game. They have to rely on the electric play, which they'll get one or two every game. But, like, you can't just throw the ball. It's fundamental football. You can't become one-dimensional, which is exactly what they've become. They're not trying to run
enough. And the Buffalo Bills aren't one-dimensional? I think that, like... There's got to be something more than that wrong, just because...
The Buffalo Bills' leading receiver is a tight end. A big tight end.
Yeah.
Might find you.
My thing about the Chiefs is, like if you're going to base it off of running the ball and having the electric play and you can't run the ball, between Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes, which of those two is going to give you the electric play?
Yeah.
Probably Patty
Mahomes is going to cannon the ball. And I'm telling you right now, that is going... If they throw him in this year, that will turn into... Way more interceptions than what they've had.
He'll go like 7-7.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy.
He'll pull like a Ben Roethlisberger. He'll be like a poor man's Ben
Roethlisberger. Yeah, he has a cannon. My thing is,
like, you've lost six straight. You've got to do something.
Yeah, he has a cannon, but who's his big time, like, 50-50 ball receiver? That's your guy, unless your dude's wide open, and Tyreek Hill's not going to be wide open every time. The only dude that you might be able to have catch shit like that is your tight end.
Travis Kelce.
Exactly.
Travis Kelce. Exactly. He's one of the best tight ends in the league.
He's your 50-50 guy, but, like, are you that? You're still becoming one-dimensional. Like, your teams are going to catch on that you're just throwing into the same dude every time. The only freak of nature that you can continuously throw to over and over and over again and will always catch it is Gronk. Gronk's just Gronk.
Yeah, he's a whole different planet.
Easily. Like, they have no... Tyreek Hill's that speedster guy. They don't have that big man wide receiver out there. And that's why they just won't work. Remember 2 years ago when they didn't throw a single touchdown pass to a receiver? Mm-hmm. That was insane. And yeah, they got Tyreek Hill, and he's definitely helped them out a little bit. But and they even had Jeremy Maclin for a little bit. Jeremy Maclin helped them out a lot. But
yeah,
they don't have that guy. And
Jeremy Maclin fell off the face of the earth.
No, he got hurt this year. I really expected him to do big things with the Ravens. But
I was gonna say they're not doing bad either.
Yeah,
I was
7-9 team's gonna make the wild card in the AFC.
The AFC is trash. I can't stand it.
Well, I think the Bills are back into an AFC wild card spot now with that win yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt, they are. They're six and five
now.
And they have the one up on the Chiefs. So
right, I mean, yeah.
Just bad.
Staying in New York, that Jets Carolina game, that was a great game to watch. It wasn't like a good game, but it was a great game to watch.
I understand the Jets.
Dude, I don't understand the Panthers.
I understand the Panthers. And
Cam didn't throw for a touchdown.
What do you? Who does he have? He lost Curtis Samuel. They started running Christian McCaffrey in the slot.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like ridiculous
about
watching.
They have Funches and you know they don't have Greg Olsen. Like they just put all of this on this man's shoulders. And yeah, sometimes he can make magic come out of nothing. Still, it's like the thing with Drew Brees, you know, coming back down 15 points, whatever, against the Redskins, and then, you know, you try to put the ball in his hands to do it again, and
it wasn't even on Cam Newton. Luke Kuechly got a freaking touchdown, and then they had a punt return for a touchdown.
Exactly. I mean, and granted, part of that's because of that touchdown catch by the Jets tight end that they turned over, because who knows what the fuck a catch is in the NFL anymore.
That's, like, my whole question about, like, if the Panthers are elite or not. I know, like, I'm looking at, like, a number of polls every week, looking at, like, you know, top 10, like, rankings and shit like that. The Panthers have consistently gone up or stayed around that top 10 mark, like, 7-10 this season. And
it's
I just
because of their defense.
And I just don't know if I agree with it.
It's because of their defense.
Yeah, but we said the same thing about the Jaguars. They're also
Cam was hurt. Cam was hurt in the beginning of the year. But yeah, Cam Newton. Cam also anybody will tell you Cam Newton's a better quarterback than Blake Bortles.
Yeah, Cam Newton's first. That's like the whole thing about him being hurt didn't really affect too much. He had his first six games, he had better numbers than his MVP season. I mean.
True.
You know what I mean? And you talk about an inconsistent team. I mean, you look at that. Like, I think that they're like that fantasy team that, like, always has, like, if you put in the right lineup, they'll kick the shit out of you, but, like, they don't always pick the right lineup because they don't know which ones are going to show up today.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, that's what they are to me. I mean, they squeaked out a win against the Jets, who have been playing better than they should have been. I mean, the Jets and the Giants' seasons should have been switched, but, like, it's just not the case this season.
The Giants should have not even been switched to the Jets right now. The Giants were, like, thought about even making a run at the Super Bowl. Like, there was a lot of hype around the Giants going into this season, and now it's like a rebuild.
The NFC East blows my mind. I find it so funny because it was all the talk of the Cowboys and the Giants, and every poll had the Eagles coming in last place. They did. No, they really did.
You know what I will say? My hot take of this week, I don't know how much of a hot take it is, I said the Chargers might be the most consistent team in the NFL, save for the Eagles and the Browns this season. Browns being the most consistent losers, and the Eagles being the most consistent winners.
I would agree with that.
Their first three games they had this season, they lost by a field goal or less. And other than one game, I think last time I checked, I can't remember if that's changed. other than that, they've only had one game where they've lost by more than one possession.
I mean, at one point, people were saying, like, dude, they started off like 0-4, 0-5.
Right? Yeah, they were 1-4, I think, to start the season.
Oh, it was bad.
Yeah, but like the first two games, though, like they lost, like they had chance to win on game winning field goals and they missed both.
Okay, they lost by lost by 3 to the Broncos and the Broncos were still the Broncos. They lost by 2 to the Dolphins. They lost by 14 to the Chiefs. Yeah, they only lost by 2 to the freaking Eagles. They lost by 5 to the Giants. They lost by 1 to the Raiders. And then they kicked the crap out of the Broncos later on. They lost by 8 to the Patriots. They lost by 3 to the fucking Jaguars. They kicked the fuck out of the Bills by 30. Peterman. And they beat the Cowboys.
Peterman. Yeah, like sure. I will bring that up now, but if you want to come on, we won't talk about it.
But like they had, they've had one game this season where they've lost by more than one touchdown, and that's when the Chiefs were like the best team in the league, arguably.
Yeah.
And they lost 24-10.
On Thanksgiving, my cousin Chris is a Raiders fan, and we were like going through the remaining schedules of the Chiefs, Chargers, and Raiders, and I slick think that the Chargers can win that division.
Yeah, they play the Browns this weekend, and then they go.
The Raiders are poo poo. Denver is turned out to be poo poo.
The Raiders are good Denver's enough for an upset. That's all the Raiders are good for.
The Chiefs, no one knows what's going on. The Chargers are the most consistent team in that division.
This is one of the craziest implosions I've ever seen.
For the Chiefs?
Yeah, I agree.
Like, they started off so good, and now they're so bad.
One of the best teams in football.
Dude, and then
They were, like, consistently ranked for, like, 4 or 5 weeks at number one.
I wrote a blog earlier this season, like, right at the halfway mark, where it was like, don't sleep on the Chiefs because their rest of their schedule, they only had one team there at the time, at the halfway mark, they only had one team scheduled who had a winning record for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at them now where they've lost 5 straight. You're like, what the hell happened?
That blog didn't age well.
No, not at all.
Dude.
Unless they pull some shit off.
Dude, I trust in Philip Rivers.
He had 400 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Even though the man is, I think, if he went to a doctor, they would clinically say he's insane.
Yeah, he's at least Tourette's.
One of my favorite moments of this year was when he was playing the Eagles and he was screaming into his helmet, like just screaming into it.
There's nothing like Philip Rivers.
Like, were there little people in his helmet listening to him? That wouldn't surprise me if he thought there were.
Dude, like not for anything.
I wouldn't be surprised if Anthony Lynn was like hearing what he was yelling on the other end of his like mic connected.
In that situation, I imagine it being a lot like what Matt yells at me for with the peaking in the microphone. He wasn't understanding anything he was saying because he was yelling so loud.
Yep, there you go. That's a good comparison.
Thank you.
I do think there's a possibility the Chargers win out. They play the Browns. They play the Redskins. That's obviously there's a couple close games. They get the Redskins. They play the Chiefs again. They play the Jets and they play the Raiders. It's not out of the realm of possibility for them to win all 5 of those.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they will. I don't think they will, but it's definitely possible.
But I think they can still win enough that going into the last game of the year, they could be playing for the division.
Yeah.
Or a wild card because the AFC is so fucking terrible.
That's the one thing that really pisses me off about football. Like,
what?
I understand the whole division system and how, like, scheduling works and all that stuff, but, like, it's still, like, super shitty when you have one side that's super good and you have another side that's just mediocre and yet, like, they're going to get a playoff team that potentially could be, like, 7-9.
Well, then you have, you're looking exactly at that with the Jags losing to the Cardinals this weekend. They lost to the Cardinals. Blaine fucking Gabbert, former Jag.
I don't care what people say. Blaine Gabbert played fantastic.
He really did. 240, 2 touchdowns, and an interception.
For the 49ers last year. He had some games where he was bad, but like some games he came out and just balled.
I said, knowing that Allen Robinson is hurt, Fournette not playing the Fournette we saw the first 10 weeks, in my opinion. His last 2 weeks have been...
It's rookie peaks. Like, that's another really underrated thing. A rookie coming in, yeah, that could be fantastic for a while, but like teams will start to catch on to what you're doing. I mean, yeah, but Zeke also had the greatest offensive line last year. They lost a bunch of pieces of that offensive line this year, and he was still doing very well.
Agreed.
But it still wasn't the same season he had last year.
And my question, I guess, at that point is Blake Bortles the biggest problem?
No.
I mean, knowing that Allen Robinson is hurt, they got Allen Hurns they're throwing to. Can't remember who else. Leonard Fournette's not bad for a couple of receivers. He's not bad as a receiving
Mercedes
back.
Mercedes Lewis.
And Mercedes Lewis. And I can't remember who the tight end is.
That's their tight end.
Yeah. That's why I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he doesn't have that many options for now. It'll be cool to see what happens next year with Allen Robinson back. Because Blake,
it's gonna be really cool to see Blake Bortles in a playoff game.
Well, Blake Bortles,
that's what I'm really excited about.
This season, he actually played pretty well. He had like 20 plus touchdowns. He had like five or so interceptions, and he had a number of. This was when I was still in college. I think it was our junior year. I think it was 3 years ago now. Where Blake Bortles had like a really good like lights out season as a sophomore, and he threw for like a number of games of over 200-300 yards. So that was like, oh, like super promising. And then you see where he is now. I can't remember exactly which season it was where he actually did pretty decent. However, right now you're just looking at a completely different Blake Bortles because, 35-18, 2015.
I mean,
not a bad year.
Like,
yeah, he threw for 4,400
yards. He doesn't have a lot of touchdowns this year.
Well, exactly. Who's he throwing to?
But he also has the least amount of interceptions that he's had
in a season.
He has a better rating than what he had last year and his first year. I don't know, dude. He's not having the worst
year. He's having a Marcus Mariota year to me.
Kind of.
Mm-hmm. He's having a year where you're in a playoff team. And you're not doing anything to lose you games, right. But you're not okay. necessarily doing
he
anything
has,
that wins you
He has two games where he hasn't thrown a touchdown. One against the Cardinals and one against the Steelers.
Which makes sense.
And then every...
But the Cardinals game was his past one, yes. Right?
Every...
He ran for two touchdowns.
Exactly. Every single other game, he's thrown one touchdown except for one game in London, which still freaks me out. He threw for four.
He had 128 passer rating that game.
Like, what?
And then
London does some weird things to this man, dude.
And then you got Vikings sitting at 9-2 with fucking Case Keenum still getting shit done. Mm.
That literally just irks me every time I see
dude,
it.
Well, dude, he's only had three games this season against the Steelers, against the Ravens and the Bears, of under 200 yards passing, and all those were around the 150 mark. Every single other game he's had, it's been, like, at least 240. He's having a freaking season right now, and last game he only threw one pass to Stephon Diggs for 9 yards too. So like he was finding other people, which is crazy, and they beat the.
And he has Adam Thielen, who is literally a.
He really is.
I don't know, like undrafted, didn't even get an invite to the combine. Like what?
Sad.
What? And he has 1,000 yards already, and it's like there's still 5 games to play.
I mean, he catches a lot of balls and he runs a lot of yards.
What an analysis.
And they beat the and they beat the Lions. They got shit done. Divisional opponent.
I'm
interested to see the Vikings in the playoffs.
I am too.
Because I don't know what Case Keenum's. I don't think anyone knows what Case Keenum's going to be like in the playoffs. But not for anything. I don't think there's too many more consistent quarterbacks this season.
No, there's very few consistent quarterbacks.
Which is ridiculous to me.
Dark horse MVP candidate.
No, absolutely not.
A very dark horse.
No. Mm-mm. No.
Yeah, their worst game was against the Steelers, and he didn't throw a touchdown in that game. Or sorry. No, he did throw a touchdown in that game.
Didn't play. What was the first? What was the?
That was
the
first.
Remember
was that,
the
that was
first
the first game
he
was back.
In? Was it the Steelers game?
I think it might have been that Steelers
Which,
game.
Which like almost a mulligan for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just like. The system that the Vikings are in, because you look at Week 1, Bradford threw for over 300 yards in a.
They have just a good
like,
team, dude.
Really good.
If we're being 100% honest, though, they really haven't played any good defenses. Like any.
No, they haven't yet. To be fair, other than the Rams.
The Rams, yeah.
I mean,
no, yeah.
And the
Steelers,
thing about that game
the Steelers
really pisses me
good.
Off.
The Steelers, well, but they that was.
It's
They're good
points.
Now. Early in the season, they weren't that great.
No, and they have a decently young team still. The Vikings, I mean. They have a decently young team. And next year, they'll have Dalvin Cook back.
Very true. But, hey, I will say that my boy, what's the running back right now? Latavius Murray.
Yeah.
Is blowing it up.
Yeah, he really is.
He's shown that he could be a number one guy somewhere, too, which is good for him, you know?
And McKinnon. And McKinnon's a beautiful change of pace.
He really
player.
Is.
Like, they have weapons around him, like. Their defense is amazing. They have Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, who are very good. They have Kyle Rudolph, who's a top-tier tight end. And they have a bell cow running back in Dalvin Cook, who got hurt. And then you bring in Latavius Murray, who's been a starter in this league the past couple years, and McKinnon, who's a stud. Like, Keenum is like good enough to
that's pretty find much those players. That's pretty like, much that's what just, it comes down to for the Vikings is like Case Keenum's good
they
enough.
Don't need a quarterback.
If you put, can you imagine if you put someone like Carson Wentz or Aaron Rodgers or like Cam Newton
undefeated.
On the fucking Vikings?
Undefeated.
Can you imagine?
Amazing.
Undefeated.
They'd be so good.
Undefeated.
But just back to the whole defense thing, they've only the really good defenses that they've played are the Ravens. They played the Steelers defense back when it wasn't that great. They have Atlanta coming up, and Atlanta's a top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Low key, this really surprises me. Cleveland Browns have the number 9 ranked defense, and I don't
based off
understand
of yards
how.
And they have Jabril Peppers playing 30 yards off the ball every single play.
Yeah, dude, they really, I mean, the only defense that they've played in the top 10, or the only two that they've played in the top 10 are the Steelers and the Ravens. So like they have like I'm very curious to see us like they have the Panthers coming up, which the Panthers are good.
Yep.
And they have Atlanta coming up, and Atlanta's another top 10. So.
And look, all they have. What week are we in? This is 13 coming up, right?
Yes.
They got week 13, so that's 4 more weeks for them. They're sitting at 9-2 in the NFC North. 9-2. Lions are the next closest at 6-5 in division. They're two. Oh no, sorry. Never mind. I'm not seeing this. But they're sitting at 9-2. Lions at 6-5. Packers at 5-6. They have a decent.
One more wins clinches.
Yeah, they have a decent goddamn chance of making at least clinching the conference. So that's division. So that's good for them. And I mean, I'm interested. Like I'm obviously a Packers fan, but I've been very impressed and actually have enjoyed watching the Vikings play this season. It's been pretty awesome.
And Matt, I mean, looking back at like their quarterback, even like, you know, you just mentioned Wentz and all them, but like even if Teddy Bridgewater was healthy,
yeah,
I don't know, dude. Like, but it's been so long since we've seen Teddy Bridgewater.
That's true, you don't
know. I can't speak.
I mean, like if he never got hurt, like if he was healthy all year, is what I was kind of getting at.
Oh, like he was never not here.
Like it or like even if he was able, like he tore his ACL last year. If he was like if it wasn't as gruesome as it was, and he was still able to come back this year, like. It could be like, you know what I mean? I think Teddy Bridgewater is a significantly better quarterback than Case Keenum. Like,
all,
I think that if they have Teddy.
All I'm saying right now is the Lions' schedule coming up is fairly easy. Their division games, say the Lions win out or just drop one, and just completely brain farted for a second. The Vikings lose 3 games, which they very well could. They're playing Atlanta, they're playing the Panthers. Dude, that divisional race is going to be huge.
Mm-hmm. The good thing for the Vikings is that they have 3 games cushion with 5 to go. Like,
very true, but their schedule is much harder for the end of the season than the Lions is.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And the division, well, actually, hold on. This is much more interesting. 3-1 are both the Lions and Minnesota in division.
Yeah.
So that's huge. That's good to know, too. I mean, the non-conference, not very good, but.
And what, did they split between the two?
I think so. Because they've already had they've already played each other, so they must have twice, I mean. So, that's an interesting thing to look at. I mean, the Packers even, they showed out pretty damn well against the Steelers. And Sean and I were watching the game, for the most part. We were watching a decent portion of the game, and I was getting mad at first that we were doing so well because I was like, I hate watching this at this point for us to set myself up for failure.
Well.
But like,
Ben, he took the fucking.
But like, not for
Steelers.
Anything.
I put so much money down on
them.
They
won.
Yeah, but they didn't.
Oh, they didn't cover.
But -14.
Okay,
dude. Okay, so before we get, I gotta just get this fucking off my chest. So I won $170 on the 1 o'clock games, and I was like, oh fuck yeah, let's go. And I was like, okay, it was me and my one friend Connor. And we were like, okay, we won the morning parlay. Like, we have $170 to blow. Like, let's try to double down and, like, get this money. And he was like, let's parlay the Seahawks and somebody else. And that parlay ended up covering. But, like, at the time, I was like, okay, we made one parlay today. Like, the odds of us doing another one, like,
no,
slim to none. Like, that, I just can't bring myself to that. And I was like, I am very confident in the Steelers.
The worst.
I was like, home, prime time against the Packers who just got blanked 23-0. I was like, dude, they're going to cover. We're smashing it. Put 150 of the 170 down on the Steelers.
Yeah.
And they fucking lost, like, didn't cover. And I had a chance to win $600 this weekend, and I won 20.
That's ridiculous.
The worst part about this, the worst part about this is Ben and I talked earlier that morning about how you never hit on parlays. So he hits on one.
Sean's been doing parlays his whole life.
I've done two. He gets so excited.
Very.
That you do that.
Well, see, that's why I didn't do the other parlay. Because, like, if the 150 would have won us another 161 bucks. So 160 plus 170 would have been like 330 something. And I was like, okay, like, whatever that math is. And I was like, okay, like, I'm here to win $300 today. Like, I'm not putting it on another parlay because the fact that we won one of them already.
Flying too close to the sun.
I'm flying well too close to the sun. I'll put it on one game that I'm very confident in. And everybody that I talk to is like, Steelers, smash it. I was listening to part of my take, and they all took them too. They're all like, yeah, I'm literally.
If you haven't realized, they are some of the worst gamblers that are out there.
As am I, so what am I saying?
Not makes sense for bad gamblers to listen to bad gamblers.
Not for anything. Right. Not for anything. Brett fucking Hundley had his best game of his career.
Fuck that kid.
Dude, he threw for 250, three touchdowns.
Every single one of his touchdowns was over 30 yards.
It was gross, too. They were good passes.
But to be fair, coming into that point, the Steelers, them giving up a touchdown, the average number was 34 yards. Think about that for a second. The average yardage for each touchdown that they were giving up is 34 yards. Do you want, that's unfathomable.
There you go.
That came out. And I mean, funny.
Not for anything, Jamal Williams, the running back, who's their fucking fourth string, has been performing very, very well.
Something about, you not having a running back. Oh, we'll bring in a wide receiver. Oh, he plays great. Oh, you don't have a running back. Oh, we'll use this dude that nobody's ever heard of. Oh, he plays great.
Oh, he got hurt?
Oh, he gets hurt? Oh, let's use this guy that nobody's ever heard of. Bam, he plays great. What the fuck?
Dude, he's had, he's had such a great couple weeks of him playing. I think it's been 3 or 4 weeks now where he's played. And he's played pretty goddamn well. He's got over 200 yards, I think, in 3 or 4 games.
It still just freaks me out a little
bit. He's got a couple touchdowns. And, I mean, no question that this game, regardless of the fact that they actually won this game, I definitely think it puts the Steelers down a peg or two. And at least let the reality set in that they are invincible. So,
And my thing is they got the Patriots on, in a couple weeks over the horizon, and if Brent fucking Hundley is going to do this to them, imagine what Tom Brady's going to do. He's going to look at this tape and be like, yep,
we're doing this, and this, and we're going to score.
They're literally toast.
Dude, and also, how about Aaron Rodgers in the pregame warm-up throwing 30 to 50-yard passes like it was fucking nothing. If that angel comes back, I'll just be so happy. But that's a whole different thing. I want to talk about what we definitely want to talk about here. It's the Rams game. And I knew you guys had shit, so I didn't put anything down here in our rundown. Rams play the Saints.
Yep, they did. And a must-win game for them. I know that the players aren't going to put much shit on this being a quote-unquote must-win game, but they lost to the Vikings the week before. They can't fall to, 7-4 at this point. And especially with the Seahawks one game behind them, they need to, they got this hot Saints team, the thick of their schedule, they got all the division leaders and Seattle to play. You have to win some of those games. And I'll tell you what, man, they looked fucking good. They wanted to lose it at the end. They did want to lose it at the very end, but I mean, the defense was playing lights out. Drew Brees threw for under 200 yards. I'm pretty sure if he did, it was very close.
He threw for almost 300.
Really?
Yeah, 260 something.
Okay, well, still, other than Kamara's big run, and his receiving prowess, we kept Ingram in place. Our defense looked good. Kayvon Webster made the tackle of the year at the 4-yard line to force that field goal at the very end of the game. Goff was playing very well. I think that, just watching the game, he was in full command of the offense. We were moving the ball at will up the field. I know the Saints didn't have their top two corners, but we didn't have Robert Woods. We had a rookie Cooper Kupp on the outside, who's coming off his worst game ever, needed to bounce back. The team needed to bounce back, and man, they rallied. I was very, very impressed and proud of that game that they put forth.
Not for anything. Drew Brees only threw for one touchdown. I'm trying to think of the last time Drew Brees only like, threw for one touchdown.
And if you're looking at that last drive, Tremaine Johnson had two hands on a football to throw an interception. And I forget, I think Mark Barron had two hands on the ball for an interception on that last drive, and they both dropped it. And it was a 15-yard personal foul penalty that got them a first down. It would have been a three and out to end that game. So I think that the defense showed up and showed out. The offense showed up and showed out. And, you know, now all of a sudden, you're looking at the rest of our schedule. We got Arizona this week. I can consider that a win.
I hope they beat
Eagles.
You. I hope they beat you.
And they might. I mean, they just beat the Jags. Like, it's not a team that we can't overlook. But, like, we haven't overlooked teams that we should have beat all year. And, like, that's the thing that I really like about McVay. You know, the Giants came into their on the road, killed them. Texans, should have beat them, killed them. You know, the Cardinals, when we play them in London, killed them. So, like, I think that,
hey,
I'll
say this. It was definitely a good win for you guys. I think...
Extremely.
I think if the Saints would have had everybody healthy, I think it definitely would have played out differently. I'm not going to necessarily say that they would have won, but I think it would have been a very, very, very much different game.
I mean, if we would have been completely healthy, too, that would have
true,
been a different
true,
game, too. If
true.
We would have had Robert
having,
Woods, we would
having,
have had Nickell Roby
yeah,
Coleman,
exactly.
we would
but
have
you,
had Connor Barwin.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you, but you have to understand that the Saints are missing not only their two starting cornerbacks, but they're also missing their best fucking edge rusher. So, like...
Exactly.
I think... Yeah,
but my
yeah,
thing
yeah,
is...
You're right. I agree. Like I'm saying, it was definitely a good win for you guys. They were on a hot streak. They were, you know what, 8 wins in a row? Like,
yep.
That's good.
And not for anything, like you talk about this being a must-win game for you. It was also a must-win game for them. And we're going to get into the golf ones meter in a little bit. And I'm going to issue a little caveat with saying that the comparison of the games, the Bears do have or had a stellar defense, actually. They've blanked a number of quarterbacks this season for not allowing a single touchdown. However, it was not a must-win game for the Eagles, save for the fact that they would still be considered the number one team. For that, yeah, it was a decent win. And
no, I
but like
no,
the
I
stock that
I
the stock
you.
That the Eagles would have lost in that game was far less than what the Rams would have
barely,
lost.
Barely nothing.
And like
it would have been everything because the Seahawks ended up winning, so we would have been in second place in the division right now. Say we lost that game.
Yeah.
And now we're kind of still semi in the driver's seat.
Hey, I'm telling you right
now,
we're
still semi in the driver's seat with a lot of our.
We're gonna help
you
out.
If we would have lost, we would have been in.
You win this weekend, and we'll help you guys out.
Yeah, I mean, we need to win, and we need the Eagles to win. Like it'd be huge to have two games left. I mean, take the scenario in which we lose to the Saints. Okay, now we're a game. Now we're even with the Seahawks, you might as well be a game back because they have the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have the Eagles, the Seahawks, and the Titans
honestly,
still on the horizon.
Honestly,
it's all of a sudden now an uphill battle to try to get to even the playoffs in general, let alone winning our division. And I think that them winning this game was just like, you can't understate enough
how
huge that game
was. How pissed are you that they didn't flex our game?
Pretty pissed, but like not as pissed because like I think that. Okay, so
yeah, no, okay,
the flexing,
okay, so
the flexing of the games.
That Sunday night game is supposed to be the Steelers versus the Ravens, which is a divisional game, very good game. It definitely is kind of playoff picture because the Steelers are obviously going to be in the playoffs.
It definitely is.
So are the Ravens. It's a must-win win for the Ravens. But
yeah, if the Ravens go 7-5 this year.
That's the thing.
And
that
it's one of the
that's
biggest
one of the things
football.
That pisses me off that the AFC sucks because if the AFC was better, the Ravens would not be in contention at all, and they would have flexed our game right away. Instead, the game that's probably going to be the game of the week is going to be the Eagles versus the Rams, and it's going to be at 4:25 instead of being on primetime, which it arguably should be because it's going to be a much more watched game than.
I'm not saying that you didn't say this at all, but I think that this Ravens-Steelers game is going to be better than people think it is. Again, I didn't say that you said that.
I don't think it's going to be a bad game.
I'm kind of low-key happy it didn't get flexed because, you know, the Rams have never played in a primetime game this season and other than the 49ers game. And just, like, the preparation that goes into that, granted it's 2 weeks away, but still, like, you have it in your mind, okay, we're going to, you know, we got to get to the stadium, you know, they're playing at 1 o'clock over.
No, it's
in
4:25.
Their time, but it's 1 o'clock in the West Coast.
How is
so? It's basically 1 o'clock game.
How's a 4:25 game 1 o'clock on the West Coast?
Oh, well, 1:30.
What? I'm just fucking with you, Ben.
You literally didn't understand time there for a split second.
You're trying to cover your ass. It's a 4:25 game for us, so it cannot be. If it's a 4:25 game for us.
1 o'clock, 1:30. Yeah, it's exactly. a 1 o'clock game, no, irregardless.
No, okay, technically, you're not wrong there.
So what? Oh my fucking god!
I'm not even gonna get involved in something here.
I'm just happy that it stayed the way it was because you know, primetime games make me nervous. I don't want to have all the eyes on us. I want to just have it the way it is.
I mean, it's still gonna be America's game of the week.
Of course, and I'm still gonna watch it. But like, my thing is. I mean, I am. I don't know if Sean will make it back from the baptism in time, but I'm gonna watch.
Sean's getting baptized.
I will be back. I promise I will be back. I might get pulled over.
You're promising you'll be back by 4:25.
As long as I'm on the road by 12. That's going to be really tough.
It's going to be really tough.
It's going to be very tough.
As long as I'm on the road, I'm going to drive to church. I'm going to show up for the game in a suit.
Just show up to church in an Eagles jersey.
Yeah, either way. Yeah, one of the two.
Yo,
you don't get it. It's fucking prime time. America's game of the week.
I don't think I'd be allowed to be the godfather.
I thought you were getting baptized.
I'm not. LOL, Matt. That happened There's nothing wrong with a grown man
getting baptized.
Nothing wrong with it.
All I'm saying is if I was getting baptized again, which I already am and have been for a while, I'm finding a church with like the big tub. I'm not getting my head.
Pointed. Oh yeah, I'm diving in head first.
At a circus. Yeah, that's what Sean wants.
Yeah. let me throw baseballs and try to hit you with your
That's messed up. All
right, so we're gonna have that golf Wentz meter is gonna be a whole different ball game. Actually, I'm gonna make this prediction now.
It's actually be pretty easy. Right,
that prediction now is gonna be pretty easy. But like,
what prediction?
Sorry, not the prediction. That decision is gonna be pretty easy when the time comes after the game.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. What if they both play? Well, lights out. Wins. I don't know if you
can
say
that. It's
going
to be whoever
wins. What if the Eagles win and Carson only throws one touchdown where Goff threw like four, but the Eagles just had a really good rushing day? You know what I mean?
I don't think you should give him the win, though.
I would give him the win.
I think you could. You could argue it because the Eagles do have a better defense than the Rams do, albeit the Rams have a very good defense the past couple weeks.
All right, we'll get to that there. Let's not talk about that. That what we're going to talk about is the Wentz Goff meter from this past week. Both QBs had very good weekends, I think. And I'm on the fence right now. I would consider
that both quarterbacks had two touchdowns and no interceptions. Because the one touchdown to fucking Aguilar was a lateral pass, basically, and Aguilar made hell of a play.
It's the same argument the end zone. You made with me the week that what's his face took it 54 yards to the house.
Yeah, and what was the ultimate decision?
You got the win. Goff got the win.
That Wentz had the better week. That those touchdowns didn't even count. That's literally what the decision was. That's absolutely bullshit.
Goff took that week. 100% Goff took that week. You are being a liar right now.
I don't know if he did.
He did. He 100% did. I will find it.
We'll look it up after.
We will.
So, why should either one get it?
You can go first, Sean. I'll let you go first.
I already have mine all written out.
No, go. No, go ahead.
Jesus Christ. Ben, you go first.
No, you go ahead. All right, so my thing about golf winning this week was, I mean, you look at it, okay, Wentz had three touchdowns to Goff's two. I'm going to say they both didn't have a fucking interception because that should have just been an incomplete
pass.
That
interception that was thrown had nothing to do with Jared Goff or anything.
I will also agree.
Well, you concede that too, so it would be zero interceptions on both sides.
He threw the pass.
Oh my God.
He threw the pass.
It's like having a handoff and saying that.
I mean, I understand that it's not his fault that it got picked, but he threw the pass. If he didn't throw the pass, would it have gotten picked?
Okay.
Well, if he wouldn't have thrown the pass, it wouldn't have been a pass.
He could have thrown it somewhere else. He chose to throw it there.
Bullshit. But,
I'm just saying.
Sammy had one hand on the ball, and he batted it right in the dude's chest.
It was Sammy's fault that the ball ended up there, but Goff threw the pass to him. He had trust in his receiver.
I'm certainly not taking away from Goff's performance from that pass.
I'm not taking away from his performance.
Okay, so Matt, I don't give a fuck about if Sean does it or not. Matt's the one that ultimately decides this. If Matt's not going to take this into consideration, then I'm not going to take it into consideration. Goff threw for over 350 yards, and he was playing in a much more meaningful game and a much tougher opponent all in all. You cannot put the Saints and the Bears in the same defensively, fucking category. Defensively,
the New Orleans Saints are ranked number 12, and the Chicago Bears are ranked number 13. So
are they the better defense?
Hold on. Before you say what you're about to say about their two corners missing...
And their edge rusher.
Then your argument about the Bears should just be way out the window in general. Or the Saints having a good D in general with their two corners in isn't a non-argument in my head.
Wow.
If their two best corners were in and they're still a worse D on paper than the Bears...
No, like, I'm saying... That's like the average for, like, the entire year. After the games.
Yes.
New Orleans is number 12. The Bears are with their 13.
So they have one game
where they still only allowed 26 points. Like, that doesn't statistically bring them down that far.
No, what I'm saying...
They're a way worse defense with their two corners out than the Bears are with everybody.
Sure, no, but I'm saying that, like, you can't consider the Saints D good even before their two corners were out because they were still only ranked one higher than the fucking Bears before they were out.
Exactly. The reason that they're such a good team is because of their offense. And the Bears have no fucking offense. That's why they're such a bad team.
I'm saying that
the Saints are a good team because they have a mediocre defense and they have a really good offense, where the Bears are a shitty team that has a mediocre defense and an absolutely poopy offense. The offense has nothing to do with, like, our quarterbacks. Golf,
sure it does.
The other team's offense absolutely does not.
Absolutely.
No.
It absolutely does.
Have you ever heard of pressure at a quarterback or something? Like, if your team's down 24-0 and you go in, the pressure for you to score is so much greater because of the other team's offense.
And you got to look at the fact that their offense is so fucking bad. Like, look at the field position that the Eagles had the whole time. He threw three touchdowns and they had the ball basically in the red zone.
Once couldn't get a first down.
Sure, but don't argue that the Chicago defense...
I'm saying statistically the defenses are very similar.
We're not saying statistics. I mean, if you're even statistically, if they're very similar and then they have a way better offense, then the comparison of teams makes no sense that they're even comparable.
I'm not comparing the teams. I'm comparing the defenses, which is what should matter for this argument.
Not necessarily. It's the team.
I'm looking at it. If we're gonna say the defenses are a wash,
it's like Ben saying they haven't played in prime time at all. It's like
if we're gonna say the defenses is a wash, you have to argue that the stats are almost a wash too, and that's gonna come down to which one was the better win, and the better fucking win in this situation goes to Goff 10 out of 10 times. How does that make any fucking sense?
What you just said makes no. If you're throwing stats out the window, that's like it's a what.
But we're throwing the defense out of the window. If you're going to throw the defense out of the window on that being a wash,
I'm saying the defenses are similar. Yes, and the defenses were similar, and yet they were missing their two starting cornerbacks plus their edge rusher, which is what makes them that much worse.
My only argument was that an offense on the opposing offense has a bearing on your offensive performance. That's my thing to keep in mind.
I also 100% agree.
I mean, if you're coming into the Eagles game knowing that the Eagles are going to put up 35 points against your team, and the pressure for you to score 35 to stay in the game is so much higher than against a team where you're like, oh, they might just like play decent on offense. So, like the whole Denver.
Sure, but that's on the other team's offense.
Exactly, it's an opposing offense thing.
Yeah, but I don't get how that is.
Does
that change how the defense plays?
Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of playing to the level of your competition?
Yeah, so they're going to play better.
That's not always true. Like, the Steelers are known for playing to the level of their competition, so they play shitty against shitty teams and great against great teams. That's, like, what the Steelers are pretty much known for. And, I mean, other teams, completely not true. I mean, if you're going to the fucking Denver game knowing that the Denver Broncos are not going to score more than, like, one offensive touchdown in the game...
This goes to, like, the Chargers game we were talking about earlier, where, like, I'm not saying all of their games were, like, very competitive, but most of the Chargers games that they have lost were within a score. We handed them by far their worst loss of the season.
By three. One field goal. You guys beat them by
31
three.
31-3.
The Chargers?
I'm sorry, not the Chargers.
Yeah,
the
grow
Bears.
Up.
The Bears. The Bears. Shut the fuck up. I'm saying...
Okay, you kicked the shit out of the Bears. Good fucking job, dude. Like,
I'm
you
not...
Did,
well,
you,
I,
you, Wentz did, the Eagles and Wentz did what they were expected to do.
Are you done your argument? Can I get to the Carson part?
No, I'm not. Okay. We never even got to my
fight. We got off the rails.
We literally just did
your... Go ahead.
Keep going.
Okay, yeah. So my thing is... Wentz and the Eagles did exactly what they were expected to go out and do. He had a pretty... everything that they have done in that game was average to what they do. And the thing about Goff was that he would, like... He's never really been expected to go out there and win them games, and that's exactly what he did.
Dude, they were 7-3 coming into... What? That is the dumbest argument you've made.
What do you mean? When in any of those wins has it come down to Goff win? Like, they came out... Like Gurley was going to have his shit, but Goff needed to be on in order for them to win that game to stay pace in the playoff push against a team that was coming in with 8 straight wins. And he went out there and played lights fucking out. Like, lights out. And my thing is, it was a better win for the Rams.
Lights out against a team that was missing their 2 starting cornerbacks and their best edge rusher.
So how does that make that? Okay, I'll let you go. I'll give you a rebut.
And we did not have our best wide receiver.
I'm going to let Sean rebut that with the caveat that how does that victory not outweigh still your victory against the Bears?
When you have been
averaging 31.9 points a game on the season and scored 31 against the Bears team.
That had a good defense.
Clearly not. But you still play average against a good defense. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
You can't say that's average because that's their average for the year. You have to look at the total NFL's average.
I also said that you played average, meaning the Eagles played average.
Like, you played average to the Eagles' standards against the fucking Bears. Like, we played above average, one of his better games of this year. No, he fucking
guys,
did not play
yeah,
below
you
averaged average.
29.9 points per game. You scored, what, 26? That's below average.
I'm saying if you're at this pinnacle,
the only thing that you did better was your pass yards.
And we beat the second hottest team in the league.
I understand that because they have a really good offense. This goes back to me saying that I'm sorry, their defenses are the same.
So you don't put any bearing on the opposing offense.
I do a little bit, but it's not. I understand New Orleans is a good team. Yes, that's a big win for you guys.
So by your logic, if Wentz throws 4 touchdowns and for 350 yards, but they lose the game, it shouldn't matter at all.
I'm not necessarily saying that either. I'm saying stats play a lot into it. I'm saying stats play a lot more into it than what Ben wants to say.
They had very similar stats all in all.
The only thing that you beat him in was the yards. He had a better completion rate. He had more touchdowns. He ran for more yards.
Goff also threw the ball 40 fucking 3 times.
Yeah, and Carson only threw the ball 36.
So basically the same.
So they're
36 to 43 is close, but
it's pretty comparable.
I think the stats are very comparable.
Carson Wentz's
Rams
QBR
had a better win over the fucking Eagles.
Carson Wentz's QBR was 91.8, whereas Goff's QBR was 61.6.
But you have to take – his QBR went down because of the interception on paper, and that was not on fucking
passer rating, Carson Wentz still had, I think, 11 or 12 points higher than what
and you have to take in – if you're looking at those ratings, you have to take in consideration that there's an interception on paper and that shouldn't have been on him, and it's – we're not –
I think we're getting off the rails here, and I think that we're at the point where we're pretty much at a draw in my head. I think that – so hold on. I'm going to say this, that statistically I think Goff had a better game –
We're also not even throwing in the fact that Carson didn't play in the fourth quarter.
Like I'm about to say, I think that Carson had better numbers against a worse team. I do think that Goff's victory was worth a lot more. So in my book, that seems to be a draw. And I think that Goff, by the numbers against the team who has been playing lights out on offense, to be around your average, sure, give or take a few points, and same thing for the Eagles, give or take around that average, but like points per game is a weird stat. I don't like that comparison. Actually, as soon as I made that to you, Sean, saying that they have 31.9, they scored 31, and that's an average game, I don't really like that statistic, just because you kicked the shit out of, I don't know, the Browns 1 week, and then the next week you play the Steelers and score 9, it evens out to 31. I mean, that's a weird comparison and a weird statistic. In my book, it's a draw. I don't know. That's it.
I could see that. I would accept that.
Of course you fucking would accept that.
No, I think that...
Okay, the week that I fought for went so freaking hard and you got him.
How many weeks have I fought for golf so fucking hard? All right,
motherfuckers. We're not talking about Wentz by a smidge.
We're not talking about the other weeks. He's right.
Shut up.
But I think the other weeks had to come in. Like, I think not the other weeks, like, as in how they played, but, like, how we made those decisions in those other weeks should come into how we make these decisions. Because every time it's always gone a hair to Wentz. If it's ticky-tacky-ticky-tacky like this, it has to go to a hair to golf.
No, it would be a tie. If it's ticky-tacky-ticky-tacky, it's a
then
tie.
Then why weren't all the other times that it was ticky-tacky-ticky-tacky, we just went a smidge to Wentz?
Way more... Dude, Wentz has played better and almost... Wentz has averaged almost a touchdown more in every single game.
If Wentz has played so much better than Goff this whole fucking time, why is it that only touchdowns are the thing that he's better at him in this year?
Okay, then why is Goff not talked about in the MVP race? And why is Wentz the candidate, like the leading candidate? He's not.
Because the Eagles are 10 and fucking 1.
Look up any stat.
The MVP always comes down to every year is... Who is the quarterback on the best fucking team?
Yeah, you guys are 8-3.
That is exactly why Tom Brady has never won an MVP since 2010.
Hold on, whoa.
This is the like you're both of you
stop. Both of you stop. Look, you got 5 wins for we've given Carson Wentz 5 wins on the season. Goff's gotten 3. That seems in my head to be a pretty accurate representation of the comparison of Jared Goff to Carson Wentz this season. I mean, in terms of however you want to say. Them playing. I mean, the performance of the Rams team this season is absolutely impressive. Historical perspective to now has been extremely impressive. What's more impressive is that the Eagles have won 9 straight, and that Carson Wentz is leading the league in touchdowns. He's leading the league in wins, obviously.
Every red zone category, he leads the league in.
And
third down completion, he leads.
So for us to be like, yo, he's got a couple more wins in our fucking Goff wins meter. It makes a little bit of sense because they're a better team right now, which makes sense. It's just like if you put Goff in that situation, if you flip the two of them, I think you'd see a different story with what we do in this Goff wins meter. But each player has to work with what they have. So I mean. I think that a tie is in the books for this week.
I don't know what Goff has to do to get a fucking win.
I really don't. Yeah, Carson had better statistics. You played a better opponent and you played. He had more yards. That's it. I'd say it's a fairly good tie.
Yeah.
All right, fuck it. I'm not fucking right. I'm just getting pissed off.
How I felt the other week when you fucking won, and it probably should have been a tie there, too.
And now I know how I fucking felt all the other fucking times. It has been very, very close, and it's just been a smidge to win. That's the thing that gets me about these fucking things, is every time this season it's come down to... Oh, it's very close. We're going to give it a smidge to Wentz, but then every time it should be a smidge to golf, it's a tie.
Any time it's been a smidge, we did do a tie, and we only have one tie.
That's a fucking lie. The game against the Cardinals, it was very, very comparable, and it was a smidge to Wentz.
And we've done it with golf once too.
Exactly. So get the fuck out of here.
God damn. God fucking damn.
On to college football, we need to move on. On to college football, Greg Schiano fired in the same day he was hired.
Is it Schiano or Schiano?
I've heard Schiano.
Schiano.
Oh, okay. She might be Schiano. Schiano was fired in the same day he was hired.
Shout out Penn State.
Thoughts?
It's because a bunch of snowflakes down in Tennessee. It's literally everything against him was all alleged, and there was literally no proof that he did any wrongdoing, and they literally just exiled him for it. And now Tennessee. All these like high profile people that they had below Schiano doesn't want to go there because they don't want to deal with that kind of pressure nor fan base. And I think they missed out on a good fucking coach. You have Urban Meyer.
I think they missed out on a good coach.
Have a couple other top coaches that are backing up Schiano, and they're like, yeah, they fucked up. If anybody's happy about this whole thing, it's Urban Meyer because he gets to keep Greg Schiano.
Possibly. Schiano might still be on the outs to go to somewhere else. I don't know though. This does create a lot of turmoil for him.
It creates a lot of turmoil for the University of Tennessee.
No, dude, I think they're going to have to pay him part of the salary.
That's what I read, too.
They do. Yeah, they do. They do. Because he signed on the dotted line. They have to pay him a portion of his buyout clause because they literally fired him.
Yeah. So, like, imagine if they had to pay him, like, you know, 60% of that.
I could believe that they would. They would have. They would almost have to legally.
That's stupid on their part. Just because of their fans freaked out. Like, what if he came in and started winning? Do you think they're going to be freaking out then? Oh, I mean, my fucking God.
What?
What, Sean?
Mississippi State just hired Penn State's offensive coordinator.
Uh-oh.
So they're going to lose to, like, all the big teams next year?
No, it just means they have to get a...
Yeah, because James Franklin's going to have to be a coach.
I won't accept that.
You won't accept what? James Franklin being a coach?
Yeah, me either. I wouldn't. I will not root for Penn State or cheer for them once next year. Dude, he is not a good play caller. He's so bad at play calling. I can't.
You're not going to root for Penn State at all if fucking...
Dude, they actually have a chance. Like, they could do not necessarily the same thing they did this year. They could do better than they did this year next year. Like, they have a lot of good talent coming in. There's, like, they need to get a good hire.
Do they have better than Saquon Barkley?
Ricky Slade is the number two running back in the draft class coming in, and I've heard really good things about him. He's a 5-star. I'm really excited about him. He's higher rated coming in than what Saquon was.
Ooh.
He still probably won't win the Heisman.
I mean, it's to be seen.
I think it's gonna matter.
It definitely ain't now. If James Franklin's gonna have to run that whole offense.
No, it just means they need to get a good offensive coordinator hire. Like I've really liked Ohio State's offensive coordinator hire from last year.
Do you think they can make the playoffs time? Do you think?
Okay, what happened? LSU needs they need Clemson to beat Miami. They need to beat Wisconsin, and they need Auburn to beat Georgia.
All those
if
sound
all
possible.
All three of those things happen, it's going to be the conversation between Ohio State and Alabama. I understand Alabama has one loss. Ohio State has had by far the tougher schedule. By far.
Oh yeah.
So yep. I think.
Yeah, but then you look at it though, and you look at their losses, and I think Bama's loss to Auburn is a lot better than
Ohio State's Iowa loss is very bad. But you also have to look at the fact that if Auburn wins, it'll be a 2-loss team in the playoff, which definitely benefits Ohio State a little bit. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. The Auburn loss does not look as bad. But if Penn State wins, not only do they win the Big Ten, which is huge, but they would have beaten
Ohio State.
That's what I meant. Penn State. I suck.
Yeah.
Relax.
Ohio State will have won the Big Ten. They will have beaten Wisconsin. They will have beaten so many more top 25 teams than Alabama. And to me, I think that's the loss column is definitely in the favor of Alabama, but the win column is definitely in the favor for Ohio State. So that's one of like the toughest. If that happens, that's one of the toughest decisions for.
I'm interested.
It's kind of similar to last year with Ohio State making it in and not being the. And kind of like Ohio State sneaking in at the very end.
Exactly.
Like it's going to come down to the
same
thing. It seems that they're always in the same position.
And I find it funny that...
Good scheduling.
That Saban came out and said he thinks based on what this team has done, they deserve to be in it. And last year he said that if you don't win your conference, you shouldn't be in the playoff.
I completely agree. If you win your conference and you are still on the outside looking in, and you're trying to get that last spot compared to a team that did not win their conference, you have to give it to the team that won the conference. Like I feel like that should be the end all be all.
And I know it's not
Bama. You didn't win the SEC. Ohio State, they won the Big Ten, albeit they have to beat Wisconsin to actually win the Big Ten. But you know, yeah, they do have 2 losses, but they are the conference champion and they had the tougher schedule. I think there's a lot more things that are leaning towards Ohio State's way. But the thing that's going to pull Bama is we're fucking Alabama. Like, if we get
in,
we're
going to
make fucking noise.
Every year, but the year Ohio State won.
And, like, exactly. And not for anything, Pitt beat Miami. So, I guess we could say goodbye to the turnover chain being in the playoff.
Not quite yet.
No, if Miami wins, they're in.
Not quite yet.
If Clemson drops out, which
Clemson should drop out
because they fucking lost this year. I don't understand.
I know. Like, why is Syracuse not in the playoff talk? Clemson
same
beat
with Pitt.
Well, Clemson beat South Carolina. It's a nice little addition to their resume.
Yeah, Clemson has a very nice resume, and they lost to Syracuse early in the year without their starting quarterback.
I don't think South Carolina
like,
was that great to begin with.
They were 19
last
week.
They were 23 in the playoff, or 24 in the poll.
Okay.
I mean, it's still top 25.
No, yeah. I agree with you. I still don't think it's...
Stanford beat Notre Dame, so they're completely out of the
that
question.
That was fantastic.
And it is worth... That. I think that it is worth mentioning, while they're not ranked, OSU beat Michigan.
And yeah. Michigan was 8-3. They were ranked the week before.
Right. I don't think...
They had a very good defense, and that game was very, very competitive up until the very end.
Yeah, and the thing that's going to hurt OSU, though, is JT Barrett going to play against Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Because if they don't, Wisconsin Slick can win that game still. Like, they're still a very good team.
I don't know how
undefeated.
Of that Iowa, or not Iowa, the Ohio State game you watched, but that backup quarterback that they had in, my God, did he make some throws. And I can't say this isn't a little bit reminiscent of the year they did win the championship with their third string backup.
Cardell.
Absolutely nuts. Was he might not have been third string. He might have been second string.
But you told me over the weekend, though, that the backup isn't going to fit well in that system because he can't run. And
but
now you're going to back him up.
No. He doesn't fit in that system. But the thing about, like, bowl games and whatnot is that you get 3 fucking weeks to prep for it.
To prep, yeah. Yeah, I think they'll be okay.
If that's the case, say he has to come, like, he has 1 week to prep for Wisconsin in the Big Ten title game, it's a little bit of a different story. But if they beat them and they do make it in, I think they will be A-okay.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see. Yeah,
honestly, if that's the case, I think it helps them because this kid does look to be good, and they're going to be coming at whoever they play first with an entire different game plan than anything that they've played with this year. That's huge. That's one of the reasons Cardale took them to win a national title, because how do you prep for that as an opposing team?
Yeah, exactly. There's literally only 10 throws of film on it.
Yeah, I agree.
That'd be interesting.
I think it's going to be a good fucking game. I think it's going to be smash mouth as fuck. Like, I'm very excited for that game. I'm very excited for all these championship games. Like, I'm excited for Oklahoma, TCU. I'm excited for Clemson, Miami. I'm excited for Auburn, Georgia again. I'm excited for Wisconsin, Ohio State. Like, they're literally all amazing. Like, they're like, this weekend of football is going to be wild. Like, I'm ready for, like, everything to get fucked up.
Yeah. Same. I'm ready to get fucked up.
I'm so ready for it all. You're all ready to get fucked up, Sean.
Final thoughts, boys.
You can go ahead, Sean. Yours is a good one.
Oh my God. So we all know how Ben has this, like, good luck with cops. Well, today,
shout out my boys in blue
from work.
Shout out me.
I'm getting on to the Birmingham Bridge and I'm driving and I, like, get on and I'm going and there's this dude next to me and, like, he looks like he's trying to keep up with me and I'm like that type of dude, like, no, I'm gonna beat you just because that's how
I'm the alpha
exactly
here,
always. Well, so we both hit, like, 45 going across the bridge. Well, the speed limit's, like, 35. This dude slows down. I realize, holy shit, it's a cop. Didn't really notice it. I probably should have looked a little harder. He pulls behind me. He flashes his red and blues. Just flashes them. Turns them back off. And then we keep going. But he kept his turn signal on. So I don't know if he was trying to tell me to pull over. I didn't know what he was trying to do. I was very confused. So I kept going. I feel like that's the natural thing to do. And then a little bit down the road again, he flashes his high beams at me. At this point, I'm coming around a curve. Like, it's the turn right only lane. And if I were to pull over there, nobody would be able to turn right, which I think would fuck up a lot of traffic. So I gunned it to go over so that I could pull over if need be. Well, little did I know that the light had turned green coming the opposite way, so all the cars were following me, and I kind of cut the cop off using the cars behind me, and I just gunned it. I left. I was out. I was not getting pulled over. My heart was racing.
You better hope that we don't have, like, random listeners out there that are actually police officers, and you just admit it to, like, evading the police.
Well, I mean, I feel like if he was trying to pull me over, he would have kept his lights on, but he didn't. I don't know if he was trying to give me a warning. I don't know what was happening. I just freaked the fuck out and bounced. But really, I look at it as a win because I didn't even have to talk to the cops and I got away with it, so.
Wow.
Good for you.
You're awesome.
Yeah. I felt like I was in Fast and Furious.
In your 98 Corolla.
99 Camry, bitch. Get it right.
My final thought is that Shout out to LeBron for getting ejected for the first time in his NBA career.
Did he really?
Yeah, in the third quarter against the Heat, no less. They're up by 23, to let you know. The Cavs were. And he went for a drive.
They're going
to
lose by 10.
He went for a drive, and there was a questionable foul in the play. Questionable. The referee did not call it, and LeBron started whining like LeBron does when he doesn't get the call he wants. Classic. And the referee just kicked him out.
Good for him, dude. Good for fucking him.
And that's
him.
What I said. I was watching this. I was watching this a few minutes ago, and I was like, honestly, I would do the same fucking thing. It's the same shit about, like, yeah. And for me, for watching soccer all the time, little, like, pansies just fucking diving everywhere. I love a ref who will just, like, pull out the cards against those kind of guys.
Put your foot down. Yeah. Put your foot down. I love it.
That's my final thought.
Good shit.
He played 1,081 career regular season games prior to being ejected.
Dude, the memes he's going to put out are going to be so lame, and people are going to blow up on Twitter about
it. Yeah, he's going to have, like, another wine night.
Oh, my God.
That's the corniest shit ever.
I hate him.
Everything he fucking does is corny, dude. It drives me up a wall. He's the corniest guy on the planet. Like, he's so corny. It pisses me right off.
Final thought, Ben.
I've been hot and heated this whole fucking
episode. Yeah, you have.
Episode. I've been on edge. But my final thought today is I have an invention idea that I think we could run with and make a lot of money. So I was coming back from work today.
This is going to be stupid.
And hey, I had my car keys in my hand, and I had a bunch of shit in, like, my other hand. So, like, I, you know, because, like, my house keys on my car keys, obviously. And I, like, went to unlock the door by, like, pressing the unlock button on my car remote. Just, like, out of habit. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm fucking stupid. I had to, like, fumble around with my keys, put my shit down in my hands, and plug in my key and turn it all that bullshit. But I was like, we should come up with, like, a locking and unlocking system for doors that are, like, the same basic principle of, like, unlocking a car. Like, having a button, and you press it, and it unlocks your door. And you have a button, you press it, and it locks your door.
Wait, that sounds like it already exists. You mean, like, in the car?
No. Like, your front door. Like, I was talking, like, my front door to get into my house. Oh. Like, I tried to unlock it with my car key, but, like, because I was an idiot. Oh. And I had, like, throw my shit down. Put my house key in and, like, do all that hassle. But, like, what if I didn't, you know, if I have a handful of groceries, a handful of stuff, I could literally just pull out a button, click, open up my door, and I'm right in. Turn around, click,
Ben,
and I lock
why
it.
Why does that sound like something I would do?
I just wasn't thinking, you know, I had a long fucking day today.
I don't
think
all the time.
Anytime.
It was a lapse in judgment, but, like, it also, like, made me start thinking. I'm like, you know, maybe this could turn into something here. Because, you know how much easier it would be if you could literally just like your car key, just click, unlock, open the door, and you're in. You got a handful of shit like I did today, you're right in. And, like, my door, like the lock on my door is a pain in the ass. Like, you have to fumble around with it, and, like, the key doesn't come out right away, so you have to stand there and, like, pull it back and forth and, like, put your foot on the door and really yank it to get it out. Like, all that hassle could be removed if we just have, like, an interlocking system that is just electronic.
Ben, I will run with this idea with you.
Right? It's not that crazy. It's not that stupid. No, like, I'm gonna patent that right now. If I hear any of our fucking listeners take this idea, I'm gonna take you to fucking court because this is recorded.
Okay,
this is copyrighted for us.
Patents take a long time. You probably should have patented it before you brought it up to anybody.
Well, it's trademarked because I spoke it into existence.
I don't think that's how it works.
That's exactly how it works.
It's not if I speak it, but we're recording.
Not if you
believe
in any way, shape, or form.
If you believe hard enough,
that's how it works. Like Matt said, if you believe hard enough.
But no, is that not a bad idea? Like, I think we could make a lot of money with this. I mean, I'd buy it for sure.
So, literally, one of our listeners is, like, going to become super famous and make so much money because...
I won't sue them if they give me a cut.
Yeah, they're not going to...
Pay me
they
off.
Would not do that.
I'm looking for a buyout here. I'm looking for a buyout.
Maybe if you trademark it and, you know, put a patent in.
All right.
I might just draw something up and submit it and have my boy George Foreman hit me up in invent help and have me get on there and try to get a patent real quick. But I was like, wow, this is like this very big, stupid lapse in my judgment might turn out to make me millions one day, so who knows?
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully you do make the millions. For now,
doubtful.
For now,
highly doubtful.
For now, that's all we got for you guys today on this 17th episode of Room Techers. Check us out on Twitter,
room
obviously.
Temp. Room temp. Temp.
Whatever,
temp,
it was the last thing I did. Temp. Huh. Check us out on Twitter. Check us out temp. On Twitter. Temp. Room Temp Show. We got all of our stuff there. We might be hitting a video to you guys or sending a video to you guys in the next couple days or so. Something.
I read real good.
All right, well, don't ruin it. We got some surprises, some stuff up our sleeve. Hopefully, like, we're talking guests, we're talking special appearances, and we're talking some videos. So hopefully we'll get all that shit to you guys Thursday's episode, unless it goes to Friday like we do half the time. Hopefully Thursday's episode will be just as awesome as tonight. Hopefully we'll have a guest for you guys that day. Keep you guys updated. Check us on Twitter. Check out our TV. There we go. Fuck yeah. Check out our website.
Check us out on TV.
So have a good night, guys. Stay toasty.
Peace out.
Peace. Bam.